This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. Nearly 2 years after the Capitol attack, law enforcement people who defended the building are right now getting the Congressional Gold Medal, the highest honor Congress bestows. Capitol Police Lieutenant Ted Hopkins.
It's important to relate how bad it really was, from the verbal abuse, from the actual physical assaults to the chemicals, impact weapons.
CBS's Scott McFarlane on Capitol Hill.
The legislation ordering these medals formally mentions the officers who died after January 6th. Brian Sicknick, who died of multiple strokes, and the officers who died by suicide. They'll be a focus area of this ceremony today inside the Capitol Rotunda, a site of rioter attacks.
It's Election Day in Georgia, a day of decision in the high-stakes Senate runoff pitting the Democratic incumbent Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker.
Many of the voters I spoke with are like Marvin and his wife Pam, who wanted to vote early but couldn't.
We were out of town for a week and we couldn't do it. So we would have voted early, but we got in late last night and decided to come on right away this morning.
Vince says life took over for him last week, but voting today was easy breezy.
Once the line opened at 7, it was, really quick.
In fact, it took me less than 5 minutes to vote. Michelle Wright for CBS News, Atlanta.
Former Republican Congressman David Rivera from Florida has been arrested on charges of money laundering and representing a foreign government without registering. He had a multi-million dollar consulting deal with Venezuela's government. Still a mess in a North Carolina county after the attack that crippled two power substations.
With more than 30,000 homes and businesses in Moore County facing a third day without power and heat, Duke Energy hopes to have all of the electricity restored sometime Thursday.
When people don't have heat in their homes or can't cook for themselves, those kinds of things, it can create personal disaster in your life.
Two power substations in the county an hour southwest of Raleigh were knocked offline Saturday after they were hit by gunfire and what investigators are calling an intentional criminal act. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
For a second day, drone strikes have rattled nerves inside Russia. Today it was an oil facility near an airfield. Yesterday a pair of airfields hit. Ukrainian forces have been blamed by Moscow. CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab.
This morning, Ukraine is also denying being responsible for those attacks deep inside Russian territory, only saying that such incidences are, and I'm quoting here, karma for Russia's invasion.
And checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 185 points, the NASDAQ is down 172, and the S&P is down 42. This is CBS News.
If you're a business owner renting or leasing, you can save a ton of money and own a custom-designed building made by General Steel. Just call 888-74-STEEL and get a quote today.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Here is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, December 7th. In Wood County, the Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in room 114. The Portage County Solid Waste Management Board meeting will be at 12:30 on Wednesday. The Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 4:30 p.m. at the Portage County Annex Conference Room 5. and the Public Library Board of Trustees will also meet at 4:30 in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The regular meeting of the Board of Park Commissioners will take place at 6:30 p.m. in the Community Room in Stevens Point. In Adams County, the Public Safety and Judiciary Committee will meet from 9 to 11 a.m. The Drainage Board regular and annual meeting will take place from 10 a.m. to noon. The Board of Adjustment will meet from 10:30 a.m. to noon. And the Planning and Zoning Committee will meet from 3 to 6 p.m. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 35. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 18. Tonight, mainly clear skies. High temperatures reach up to 34. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. A dusting of snow Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently, it's 27.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The only thing that's really changed as far as when people ask how married life is about once a day I go, I'm someone's wife. That's going to be our date night. I'm going to make him rewatch our ceremony since we live streamed it. And yes.
Every month, date night on the same day.
I'll give it, let's be generous and give it 6.
I don't think they'll make it till Christmas.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada. Hello, Wisconsin! Wisconsin! Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, our home base of Waukesha, Madison tonight. Everyone streaming us, everyone listening to the podcast later, and good morning, Jane Matner.
Good morning, Kristen Bry. How is date night going?
It's going well.
Is it?
So we've done 3. So September 20th, October 20th, November 20th, and then we will have this coming December 20th.
Hey, that's I'm impressed.
I'm trying to think of there was one night that I changed it up. It was, I made him do something else. I was like, this is what we're doing. Oh, I think you know what we did?
Oh, it was a political thing.
It was a political thing. We went to Luann Bird's concert. And I was like, well, no, I mean, it's still, we're still together. We're still doing something. And then in November, we were on our honeymoon. So we, the whole thing was a celebration. But we're still going strong. That was Joe that said, right?
Yeah.
That he didn't believe in us, that we'll make it to Christmas. Well,
yep.
You know what, Joe? We are making it till Christmas. In fact, quick side note about that, since we ended yesterday's show talking about St. Nick's, St. Nick came to my house.
Did he?
Did St. Nick come to your house?
No.
No. I didn't think St. Nick was going to come to my house, and now I feel guilty because St. Nick came for Cliff and I, but not for Mike.
Oh, gosh.
Because while many women marry their guys who are like their dad, I apparently married someone who's like my mom.
What did St. Nick bring you?
Candy.
Nice. Skittles?
Yes. Purple. A large size bag of purple Skittles and gummy bears. My two favorites. And really just feeding into my diet of a 12-year-old child. And Cliffy got some bacon, some doggy bacon.
Ooh. So, good day for Cliffy.
Yeah. And so I'll have to go do a belated St. Nick's gift for Mike to surprise him in his stocking tomorrow. All right. Well, welcome to the 11 o'clock hour. We have a great, great show today. We are going to kick off at 11:30. I'm so excited about this. State Treasurer John McGivern from Around the Corner with John McGivern.
You
his
know
new
him.
Show is called Main Streets. He does Christmas live Christmas shows every year. Wisconsin native. He and I actually have very similar journeys as far as being from here, leaving, coming back, finding success performing in Wisconsin. He's going to be here from 11:30 to 12:30. And he is just a joy. I've had coffee with him once, and not shockingly, we really hit it off. And so I'm so excited for him to be here. We're going to talk about you know, just the career that he's had, his TV shows, his Christmas shows, and everywhere you can find those, because it's going to be across the state all this month. He will be performing, but that is going to be so fun. And then at 12:30, we'll do some more headlines. And then at 1 p.m., Kylie Peters is going to be here. She is a serial entrepreneur and founder of Rain 9, and they're kicking off a new group of women professionals, and it's called the 100 Collective, and it's a group for women small business owners who provide professional business services and are committed to helping other women succeed. And so since this is a female-dominated show, we always love lifting up other women and who are lifting up other women.
Yes.
And speaking of another high-powered, impressive lady, the CEO and president of Sharp Literacy, Linda Kohler, is going to join us at 1:30 to talk about holiday happiness, a shopping excursion that they have partnered with Kohl's and Carroll University, which is just up the street from us, and Quad to do a shopping excursion for deserving students at Hadfield Elementary School in Waukesha. That's happening
wonderful.
This week. So we'll talk to her at 1:30 about that. And as always, you can join the conversation. 844-967-2789. Shoot us a text. Give us a call. We love hearing from you. And so to kick off with what I think is at least, you know, these are the stories that I think at least I think are important.
Jumped out at
you. Are they the most important in the world? That's a subjective statement. But nevertheless, here we are. So yesterday, SCOTUS, the United States Supreme Court, heard the case over another, you know, a couple years back, we had the wedding cake maker, and now we have the wedding website maker. And what the balance between free speech and discrimination is. And, you know, so just kind of some context on this. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments yesterday. And as we've talked about before, the court has a conservative majority. And so it seems primed to side with a Colorado-based evangelical graphic designer named Lori Smith. And so she has claimed that she should not have to make wedding websites for potential clients in same-sex relationships. And the state of Colorado is arguing that by refusing to provide a service to same-sex couples, she is discriminating against them, and it's unlawful discrimination based on someone's sexual orientation. And in fact, I mean, this is a fun fact about this case. The 2018 case with the cake maker was only 5 miles away from her. So what's going on in this part of Colorado?
There's some really, really red spots in Colorado.
I mean, there's really red spots in every state, right? Yeah. I think when you look at most states, the rural-urban divide and how they vote is very real, right? And California, there's certainly very red spots. Colorado, even the most blue states, if you go to upstate New York, very red spots.
Sure.
But it's just interesting that within 5 miles that these are the two cases that have come out of Colorado and made it to the Supreme Court on this issue. And so the thing is about this case is the operative word is would. Because there is no, Smith's company has not, the person, Lori Smith, the evangelical graphic designer, her company has not actually made any wedding websites or refused service to anyone yet.
So she's doing this hypothetically.
Yeah. Which is why it's an unusual case for the Supreme Court to have taken. It's not like with Obergefell, which is the 2015 case that allowed for same-sex marriage. That was a case where there was a defendant and a plaintiff, and there was a real person that was involved. When you think about Roe v. Wade, there was Jane Roe, and who it was her case that took years to make it through the courts. But in this case, it is Lori Smith versus the state of Colorado, and I don't know enough about how. With her not refusing service to anyone, how did this escalate to the Supreme Court?
That's a really good question.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't understand how they can legislate on a hypothetical.
Especially, and it makes me think of, you know, because a lot of these things are planned, right? And as the Supreme Court, especially with Donald Trump as president, you know, became solidly a majority conservative justices, there were cases that were specifically started and planted in order for the purpose of them eventually making it to the Supreme Court. So it's like, who is behind this Lori Smith, especially because there's no actual case of her refusing service? Because in reality, I think most of us, and maybe I'll get in trouble for saying this, but as a freelancer or someone who provides services of some sort, you don't have to ever say that the reason you're not going to provide service is because they're a certain race. You can also
Can't you just say no?
Can't you just say, I'm busy?
I have too much work on my plate right now.
Too many clients. Because you also, you know, when you refuse service because I just don't like you, like as a person who freelanced at one point in my life, there was times where I said, I'm not going to take you on as a client because I am too busy. You are not going to pay enough. And it's there. I feel like there is something behind this case of how it was planted, why it was planted.
Who's pushing it?
Who's pushing it? Because in a website, in like a graphic design world, I have a very good friend who texted me before the show. She is a graphic designer. She can just refuse. She's like, I can't work with you for a variety of reasons. Even if the back of her mind, it is not the case with this person. If there is some discriminatory reason why you don't want to do it, but you never have to say that's the reason you're not doing it. Am I wrong there? Am I wrong for even saying that? But I feel like this is an obvious thing as far as, you're not, I don't know. But either way, it is weird to me that there is no actual case of her refusing service. So, like, you know, as we're going to talk more and more about the different cases that are having hearings right now, more likely than not, the only thing that we're not going to get a ruling from the Supreme Court until next summer. So it's all... We will break down what was said. We will break down what the arguments are, why it's important. Jim Santel from Morning Cannolis is going to join us on Friday to talk about a very influential case, Harper v. Moore, that has to do with state legislatures deciding elections. So we'll continue to talk about these cases, even though it's going to be a while until there's any rulings
movement
on them.
Yeah.
But we're going to take a break, and when I come back, I just feel like Alito sounds more and more like your drunk uncle at the holidays with some of the things that he says. And so we have some clips of some of the things he said yesterday that are funny. And he got some laughs, whether he meant to or not. But stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings, and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry on the Civic Media Network. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can always go back and listen to the show as a podcast. You can listen to the individual interviews because we put a lot of work into this show. And, you know, 3 hours every day is a commitment.
It is.
But we have a lot of good stuff in here. And so coming up after this segment, John McGivern is here. I think he is sitting in the green room, so we're so excited to talk to him. But to continue our conversation from our lead story for the day, which is that yesterday SCOTUS heard the case over wedding websites for same-sex couples and whether or not it infringes on a graphic designer or web designer's First Amendment rights to say that she can refuse to make a wedding website for a same-sex couple.
Even though this has never happened.
Even though she has never refused to do that. If that is discrimination and thus illegal, or if it falls under her First Amendment right. But, you know, one of the things that we pointed out before, which is kind of weird, and I would love for a lawyer or some kind of constitutional law expert to tell me if this is abnormal or not. But what feels abnormal is the fact that there is no instance where she refused service, and that this is all based on a hypothetical, and it's unusual for that to happen, and that be the case that grows and escalates into the Supreme Court. But what is not abnormal is that often once the Supreme Court is listening to, has hearings, they pose hypotheticals to flesh out, well, what if this, what if that? Where does the law stand up in these scenarios, and where does it not extend into that? And, you know, Justice Alito, who was the guy who penned the main opinion for Dobbs and for overturning Roe v. Wade, who, very conservative.
And he cited a 13th century Englishman, by the way.
Yeah.
Or 14th century.
Who sounded like a real gem.
Yeah, they were all about burning witches. But yes. Anyway.
He had a line of questioning yesterday that got... was both awkward and humorous, but unclear if he meant it to be humorous or if this was really his line of questioning. But so the first one, was about J-Day. So he was asking Eric Olson, who's Colorado's solicitor general, to consider involving an example of J-Date.com. Do you know what J-Date is?
This is for Jewish people.
It's a dating site that, you know, if you're someone who knows that you want to, you are a Jewish person, you know that you want to marry or date other people who are Jewish, it is a dating service for Jewish people. And what's great about this one is Kagan Justice Kagan, who's Jewish, chiming in. So he says, an unmarried Jewish person asked a Jewish photographer to take a photograph for his J-Date dating profile. It's a dating service, I gather, for Jewish people, .. And then Justin Kagan, who's Jewish, chimes in. This is why I wish we had the audio, because she chimes in and she goes, it is. And that gets a laugh from everyone. So people, and then he continues, all right, so maybe Justin Kagan will also be familiar with the next website I'm going to mention. So next, a Jewish person asks a Jewish photographer to take a photograph for his AshleyMadison.com dating profile. And I think he's trying to say, is that impeding on the photographer's First Amendment rights to take a photo for someone for their Ashley Madison dating profile, because specifically Ashley Madison is for people who are looking to have an affair.
Yeah, this is for cheaters.
Which I love that there's a market for everything, man.
What an interesting name, but anyway.
So I think that must be a line of questioning, because in the Jewish faith, there must be something very specific about adultery that he is making this as an analogy. And so the Mr. Olson, the solicitor general, says the answer depends on what the services that photographer offers, if that is actually discrimination. And so then he keeps going, he being Justice Alito. So they come to another hypothetical that I guess was originally proposed by Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who she described a shopping mall Santa Claus who objected to having his picture taken with black children, and that being discrimination based on race. And so that, so we have this clip though.
Justice Jackson's example of the Santa in the mall who doesn't want his picture taken with black children. So if there's a black Santa at the other end of the mall and he doesn't want to have his picture taken with a child who's dressed up in a Ku Klux Klan outfit, That black Santa has to do that?
No, because Ku Klux Klan outfits are not protected characteristics under public accommodation laws.
And presumably that would be the same Ku Klux Klan outfit, regardless whether the child was black or white or any other characteristic.
Yeah, you do see a lot of black children in Ku Klux Klan outfits, right? All the time. Suppose that,
What?
What? What are we talking about?
I am so confused.
Like, I know, he just sounds like your drunk uncle at Thanksgiving. What is he talking about?
I don't think anyone knows.
But it seems like such an obvious answer. And so kudos to Eric Olson for immediately saying no, because wearing a KKK outfit is not a protected class of person. What's the protected class of person for discrimination is inherent qualities and characteristics like your religion, your race,
your gender,
your sexual orientation. And I think that, I'm not a legal expert, I feel like your right to wear that outfit or costume or whatever that is classified as falls under your First Amendment right. But it is not, I don't know. So anyways, cue the Curb Your Enthusiasm music, because that is the only thing I feel like that is fitting for the line of hypotheticals that Justice Alito provided in yesterday's hearing. There you go. So we'll be back with John McGivern. Stay tuned.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net, it scores!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. When you connect with an expert, getting coverage is easy and our help is free. We find the best deals, whether it's from healthcare.gov or state coverage like BadgerCare. And you can reach us in person, phone, text, or online. Honestly, it's like chatting with a friend who knows everything about health insurance. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes or the grand prize of $1,000. Winners will each receive a check that can be used for travel, gifts, or just celebrating with family and friends, whatever makes their holiday more jolly. For complete rules and to enter for your chance to win, visit countryhearthbreads.com/sweeps.
We all know to dial 911 to reach law enforcement and protective services. And now community information and referral can be reached with an easy-to-remember three-digit telephone number. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Who provides respite services in the community? They know. Where can you find your child a tutor or mentor? They know. Find the answers to these questions and more by dialing 211, the place to get connected and to get answers. Dial 211.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The city of Marshfield is debating asking citizens to pay an extra fee to cover emergency services. The city is facing a significant budget deficit and are looking at different options to make up the difference. They are considering how to word the referendum question in a way that will resonate with voters. Officials need to decide soon as the deadline for the spring election is approaching. If they wait until November's election, their referendum question will be on the same ballot as the Marshfield School District's proposed $90 million one. Stevens Point held a public comment session to get resident feedback on the proposal to change a city ordinance on how a family is defined. Currently, the zoning code restricts single-family homes to one family and one unrelated person. The changes would increase the number of unrelated people from 2 to 3 in an effort to help solve the housing shortage in the community. After 2 hours, no consensus was reached. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 35. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 18. Tonight, mainly clear skies. High temperatures reach up to 34. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. A dusting of snow Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 27.
The lake!
Well, hopefully you recognize that voice because he is our guest for the next hour. But welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. But I am so excited to have this gentleman on the show for the next hour. He is the longtime host of the PBS Wisconsin show Around the Corner with John McGivern. He currently hosts the new show Main Streets. He's a 5-time Emmy Award winner, actor, comedian, state treasure, I would say.
There
Welcome
you
to
have
the
it.
Show, John McGivern. Goldberg.
Thanks. How are you?
I'm great.
Congratulations on this.
Thank you.
How exciting is this?
It's so fun.
You know what's really exciting about this? You have Jane Mayer.
I know. It was so funny because we were talking yesterday and prepping for today's show.
Yeah.
And I said, well, do you know John? She goes, oh, yeah. We go way back. And
right.
So I wanted to kind of surprise you, but apparently it wasn't a surprise, and you already knew that she was
part of the
show.
I read about it when this all happened. I'm very excited for you because she's great. She's great.
John, I met you when you taught a stand-up class, right? Isn't that how we met?
A storytelling class. I met you before that, too, Jane. I think I met when you were on The Mix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Way back when.
Way back. Yeah.
Oh, she's talk about a treasure.
Talk about a legend.
Yeah.
In my own mind, at least.
No, in mine as well, Jane, just so you know.
No, I think most people, the amount of people who come in are like, well, of course I know Jane. Right. Just the imprint you have left on southeastern Wisconsin and that legendary voice.
It's great. This seems like a great team.
It is a great team.
Yeah, congratulations.
We're having so much fun.
Yeah.
It is certainly, as you probably, no surprise to you, as someone who's been doing a show, a TV show for a long time. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And you guys handle 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, don't you?
We do.
So when you said just an hour, I thought, well, I could come in for three.
You probably could come in for three. I would be like, that would be a very lively show. I'm just having you, the three of us, for 3 hours.
That's a lot of time.
It is a lot of time.
Yeah.
It is a lot of time. But we're, you know, it's very fun. I think what I have enjoyed so much about doing this, that it's so different from doing the short videos that I was doing, and I'm still trying to do, but doing both is a lot,
right,
is things like this. Mm-hmm. Because it's harder to invite someone onto a 60-second TikTok that you want to have a conversation with,
right,
versus being able to invite someone like you on to talk for an hour. And because so many people love you,
and
so many people get to have an opportunity to hear a conversation versus just see you perform or tune into your show. And so what's been really fun about having the radio show and having a platform is to be able to invite people on to just have a conversation.
Yeah.
And so I'm so excited to have you here.
So we both work in conversation. That's what we do. So my job on TV is to converse.
Yes.
And to allow people to tell their stories, because that's really what we are, storytellers. But the fact that you do it live is frightening to
really?
Me.
You're a live performer.
You know, I'm a live performer, but a live performer is different than a live radio. Here we go for 3 hours. You know, when I step on stage to do a live show, I have it pretty well planned as to what's going to happen. You'd open your dial and it's like, now what?
Well,
you know?
To be fair, and to pull back the curtain a little bit, I have an outline every day that I work on. I don't totally just freewheel it. But so one of the things that I think, I joked about this as I promoted today's show. So when I was first planning to come back to Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and it was when it was first a documentary, but it was As Goes Wisconsin, I was trying to figure it out. My mom was like, I think you should get a hold of John McGivern. And she told me all about Around the Corner with John McGivern and how much she loves that show and how she watches it every weekend and how she feels like, I feel like you could be like a younger version of him. And I sent you an email. This was early 2020.
Yeah.
You never emailed me back.
I didn't.
No.
Didn't I? Okay,
and then
there you go.
Fast forward to a year later, we had coffee a year ago.
Yes.
Because you'd transitioned from Around the Corner to now what's Main Streets. And what I didn't realize is how similar our journey has been as far as being from Wisconsin, going to LA, and coming back.
Career-wise.
So for people who don't know, and just know as far as what you've been able to do since coming back to Wisconsin, what was that journey of going out west and then coming back?
You know, the catalyst for my leaving the Midwest was that in 1993, I wrote a show called Midwest Side Story. And it was my own stories of growing up in Milwaukee and the East Side, believing that all of my stuff is really specific and really, you know, I did not realize that people would say, oh, my Lord, your story is my story. The streets are different. The names are different. But what happened in the heart, what happened in situation-wise is the same thing that happened to me. So I wrote this show, opened it at a theater in Chicago, and the second weekend at that, after I opened, Comedy Central was in the house. And Comedy Central saw me do an hour and a half show of my stories and got a hold of me and said, we are producing an all-gay special on Comedy Central, which would be the only second gay special ever to be on the air anywhere. And we want you to close the show with a 9-minute story. So Out There Too was shot in New York during during coming out month, October of 1994, I believe.
Wow, okay.
And from that, I got calls from all over, really, around what, you know, and I got an agent out of Los Angeles, and they said, you really need to come out here, which I look back and I realized that, you know, it was the early 90s, so it was a different world than it is today, yeah. When everything could really be done. What I moved to Los Angeles, and they sent me out on the road is what they did. You know, I did an all gay comedy special, and they sent me out to do comedy clubs in like Idaho. It's
like, how'd that go?
I can remember they had openers for me who were talking about hunting, and you know, and I was like, and I'm sitting in the back going, oh my God, I gotta get together my best hunting material. I do. What do I love about hunting? I love the outfits. I'll talk about them. No, I'm telling you, I was freaking out. And when they introduced me as the guy from the all-gay comedy special, and I'm standing in the back ready to walk on stage, and you hear people going, did they say gay? I'm like, oh, my Lord, is this going to work? You know, but can I tell you, that universal sort of, like, my stories are about my mom, about my brothers and sisters, about growing up Irish Catholic. You know, it's so... When you cut away all the other stuff and you just really talk about a human experience, which is really what I've come to know, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. It made no difference, you know, and Idaho was great. And that tour that I did around after that Comedy Central special. Then after that, HBO hired me to do another all-gay special. There were 7 of us who went out there, and that was an HBO special. So it was funny that I was known for my stand-up, which I'm really not a stand-up. Like, if you've ever seen I'm just not a stand-up comic. I'm a storyteller who sits on the stool and tells a story that at the end that there's a payoff. But, you know, as a stand-up, it's got to be quick. And
yeah,
and
that's, it's like every 15 seconds, there's a joke.
It's not
like
me.
Like, set up punchline, yeah.
It's not me. But L.A. really proved to me what was most important, and that was getting back to some place that felt like home, because Los Angeles didn't. I lived there for 8-9 years and worked.
That's a substantial amount of time.
It was, and I really worked hard, and I worked a lot, and you know, I did some commercial stuff that paid a lot of money, and I mean, that kind of stuff was fun. But to get home and really kind of figure out what I wanted to do, and what happened, which was really exciting for me, that I always had a fallback, which was a show called Sheer Madness, which is a show that I first did in 1984 in Chicago. And it was a show that ran in places all over the country and ran for a very long time. So when they opened a new show, they would call me to play this character whose name was Tony Whitcomb, who was a gay hairdresser, over-the-top gay hairdresser who owned the salon where the play took place. And so no matter if I was ever out of work, I could always call them and say, what do you have? So I did the show at the Kennedy Center in D.C., in Chicago, in St. Paul, in San Francisco, in Portland. I did it. I would just say, I've got 2 months. Where can you put me? And they'd slot me in, which was the best. Then they gave me the rights to the show.
Oh, wow.
And I came home with the rights to Sheer Madness in my back pocket. And I collaborated with the Milwaukee Rep and the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts. We were the 3 producers. And we put it up in Vogel Hall at the Marcus Center to what we believed would be a 6-week run. It ran for 3.5 months and brought in $1.9 million. And the Marcus Center and the Milwaukee Rep said, is there anything else you're thinking of doing?
what other things can we collaborate on?
Exactly.
This one went really, really well.
And we did. We went on for years and collaborated on projects. And it was the first time the Milwaukee Rep and the Marcus Center came together, because the Milwaukee Rep wasn't going to produce this in their season. And the Marcus Center didn't really produce shows. They presented them. So the Milwaukee Rep produced, Marcus Center presented, and I was the glue with all of it.
So how many years did that run then?
We ran that four times over the course of 10 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We also did The Odd Couple, which was a co-production. We also did...
Who was your co-star in that?
Chris Tarian, who was my co-star in Sheer Madness.
Okay.
So... there was a campaign out with that to get the word out. It was John McGivern and that other guy.
Oh,
Chris was that other guy. We did Fully Committed as a co-production, that one-man show about somebody sitting in the basement of a restaurant taking reservations. What else did we? So we collaborated for years.
And so our guest right now is John McGivern, as he just said, who is a actor, comedian, TV host, storyteller, and he's here all hour. But so, because a big thing for me, I would say, and I, you know, mine was 17 years of leaving at 16, wow. L.A., Berkeley, San Francisco, New York, back to L.A., did a lot of different things beyond just performing. But for me, coming back to Wisconsin has been hands down the best decision of my life because, I mean, personally, I've now married, but also career-wise, just how much has kind of fallen into place. It has provided an atmosphere where I can combine all the different experiences and talent that I've collected. And I would have, if you told me 3 years ago, I would have been like, why would I move back to Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Like this pressure or this feeling that you have to be in one of the big cities to do this thing that we call performing or, you know, but there's so much oxygen here to be able to come and create something interesting and valuable. And so like, was that, it sounds like that was almost immediately your, like you were finding success in LA, but there was something that really opened up for you being able to come back to Wisconsin.
And when I came back with the rights of that show to that show in my pocket, I wasn't sure if I would stay here. I knew I knew that that would probably be successful, and it was beyond successful. And with people asking what I wanted to do next, and then I got a job with TMJ4 as somebody on Friday mornings. They put me out on the street talking about what's best about living in this community. So live shots on television on Friday mornings, and then they gave me Wednesday mornings as well. So it was Wednesday and Friday. Then they brought me into studio. So I started doing TV stuff regularly. And then PBS got a hold of me and said, we want to shoot your one-man show on stage. And I said, that would be great. And then we had our production meeting. They said, no, we think it'd be best if we shot it on location where the stories took place. Mm-hmm. So it just so happened that they assigned a producer, Lois Maurer, who has now been my producer. We've worked together for 15 years. Yeah. This woman who is like my, you know.
I've seen how you two are together. Yeah,
she's the best. She's the best. As my mother, you know, may she rest in peace, my mother. But she, when I first started working with Lois Maurer, my mom said, you need to hitch your wagon to her. Lois was like, what? So, but she was assigned that project called The Early Stories of John McGivern. And because of that, you know, we've worked together forever.
And so when we come back, we'll talk more about how that turned into Around the Corner and then how that's turned into Main Streets. I'm so excited that you're here. John McGivern is our guest until 12:30. Stay with us. We have so many more stories to tell. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Soon you're gonna take their place. Wagon on their front door. Wanna see you packing on the double. You ain't going away, no.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So don't they hear you? You can do it if you try.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
How come the Hogans, they have flocked tree? Why is their tree baby blue? Shh, John, don't ask those questions. But why? I just want... Shh, John, no, that's just... No, but why is the Hogan's tree blue? And my mom said, because they're from West Dallas.
Dallas. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Reminder that we love hearing from you. If you have a topic, if you have a guest that we should bring on, let us know. But our guest right now, as you just heard, is the one and only six-time Emmy Award winner, John McGivern, who just won your sixth Emmy on Saturday. That's so exciting.
For hosting a magazine show, it was very exciting. I didn't go to the same. It was in Chicago.
Okay.
It's the Midwest Emmys, and I didn't go. But I watched. I watched the live stream, and the announcement was great. I'm very excited and proud.
You should be.
Yeah.
So we were talking before about kind of all the different things that you've done between TV and storytelling, live storytelling, and then it turned into Around the Corner with John McGivern, which has now turned into Main Street. And so tell me a little bit more about how the original show started and how that translated into now Main Street, which is more Midwest than just Wisconsin, right?
Right. So Milwaukee PBS shot my stage show, as I sat on location, turned it into a special that aired in markets outside of Milwaukee as well, called The Early Stories of John McGivern. Then it used to be that you could pitch a committee around a series on Milwaukee PBS, and Lois, who had produced that, we had such a great time doing that project that she said we should find something that we could work together all the time. And we came up with this concept called Around the Corner with John McGivern, and we pitched it to the committee, and they said no, that it's missing something. And what they thought was missing was history. So okay. Lois said, do you want to do the history research? And I was like, not really. Are you interested? She said, not really. I said, wait, I know John Goerda. Let's call John Goerda and see if John Goerda would do this segment on our show.
John Goerda's going to be here Thursday.
Oh, that's so good. How great is that?
That's so great. Like, yeah. He's an amazing person to tap. So anyone who's not familiar with John Goerda, he is the Milwaukee historian.
He is.
He's made an entire career out of the history of Milwaukee, and he just announced that his column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is ending.
Yeah.
And so, just for a little context, so he was then helping with the show.
He was, if you watched it, so we did 9 years, 117 episodes, and he was the guy who rode up on the bike and gave us 3 minutes of wherever the history of wherever we were that week. And then for 4 of the years, I believe he had an hour long special that we shot with him as well.
Okay.
So there was the John, you know, around the corner with John Goerda, that was an hour long special that we had. So he was with us for 9 years.
Wow.
When the show was no longer renewed, which was after our ninth season, you know, to say goodbye to John Gerda was really it was hard and sad, because you know it was a weekly, once a week, every through the course of our summer, 13 episodes for 9 seasons we were together, and it's just such a really good, smart, informed, very regular, you know, and he puts things in a language that we all can you know, take, and he's great, so I miss him. But once he signed on, the committee approved the show, okay. And they approved 1 season, 13 episodes, and we Lois produced it. We kept it very local. We kept it very Milwaukee-centric that first year until PBS Wisconsin, which there's two PBS networks in Wisconsin. PBS Wisconsin, which is out of Madison, which covers all of the state except southeast Wisconsin. So Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee is covered by Milwaukee PBS. The rest of the state is PBS Wisconsin. They picked us up the first year and ran it the same time we ran it in Milwaukee. So 7 o'clock Thursday nights, which is local night on PBS. PBS Wisconsin played us. So season two, we went a little further so that their air was covered as well. And we did that for nine seasons. And over the course of that 9 seasons, we became the highest rated show Milwaukee PBS had ever produced. And then it became the highest rated PBS show on Thursday nights on any station in the country for years running, which was so great. Then PBS World picked it up. So over the course of the last 4 years of that run, PBS World, which runs all over the country, ran Around the Corner with John McGivern.
Yeah. So this might be a hard answer. A hard question to answer, because it's always uncomfortable to toot your own horn. At least I find it uncomfortable. What do you think the magic of that show was, of why it was so popular, and what about it appealed to so many people that it had such a successful run?
I think it was accessible. I think where we went was accessible. Who we talked to was accessible. If people wanted to take a 45-minute drive to Sheboygan Falls and go to the Firehouse Pizza, or walk down Main Street and go to the Beavis toilet seat company. I mean, it was all of that, where it felt like, oh my, we can go do that. And then they would show up and, like, talk to the person that I had a chance to talk to, you know. So I think it was accessibility and really kind of feeling, I think the show felt really familiar with everybody. And I think it's the case with the new show as well. And Lois, unlike you, I don't mind tooting my own horn.
Fair enough.
Maybe we're different like that. Lois believes that, and you know, I don't have a fear to chat.
Yeah.
And to ask, and to, you know, I'm curious, and to sit down and chat with somebody, you know, as somebody who does what you do, that people like to talk about themselves.
That's
they
true.
Do. So let me ask you about your business. Let me ask you about your home. Let me ask you about the town that you call home, and you know, you've got a show.
And it's so interesting, because as the interviewer, there are obviously someone else is asking the questions, but knowing how to mold the conversation, how to have a quick one-liner to come back with, how to then look to camera and say something else witty. And so, like, that is such a skill set that I'm so fascinated. We have to take another break, but I'm so interested to know if that was just something that is innately in you, or if it's something that you felt like you had to learn and get feedback on, because it's like anything, that you make it look so easy for something that is a lot harder to do once you actually try, as I now know.
There you go.
So we're going to take another break. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Strike me as funny. I can hide it inside and squeak as the squeakiest too. I got to let go with a hoe.
How nice! I was hoping you, Dana.
Dirty
all would have such a jolly time.
We love to laugh loud and long.
love to laugh. So everybody can hear.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown.